I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. As always, I have the honor and pleasure of being joined by my darling sister and special guest, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you, my dear?
I'm very good, thank you. So, I don't know which part of the world you guys are on in. I'm a firm believer of living your life, not caring what others think, and not necessarily...
You're a believer of this?
Yeah. And
you don't give a fig?
No, I really don't. Not waiting for external validation. And I believe that living up to other people's expectations of us is somehow toxic for everyone. But...
So how do you know if you're doing the right thing?
Whether we like it or not, we are social creatures, right? And there's a certain degree of norm that we kind of have to abide to in order to be able to live a harmonious, relatively peaceful life and be able to have healthy relationships in general. And as Muslim women, we're not an exception. I also cannot deny that there's a great amount of double standards, you know, directed toward the Muslim community when it comes to the society's expectations of a Muslim woman and a Muslim man. I don't want to turn this into a battle of genders. It's really sickening how almost every social topic in this world turns into a battle of genders. I'm not in any way a feminist at all.
I can see that.
I'm a justicist. I want justice.
Okay.
Right? We talk about society's expectations of a Muslim lady. And then I want to talk about how fair these expectations are.
How fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
And whether or not they're realistic.
That's a very good expectation.
Whether or not they have the same expectations from them. Well, maybe they don't, because men and women have totally different responsibilities. But do they hold men to these standards, as high a standards as they hold women? Because if they don't, because if they don't, then the society is going to be lopsided, right? And it's going to be dysfunctional, and the women are going to turn dysfunctional, and the men are going to turn dysfunctional, and the world will be chaotic, and it will burn as we see it now today.
Actually, last night I was reading this book, this really nice book that I'm falling in love with. It's called Identity of Iranian Men in the Area of Qajar and One More Era, which is very close to this era. And it talks about how the definition...
It's a Farsi book?
Yeah, it's a Farsi book. Actually, my professors in university introduced us this book. And since I'm in love with gender studies, men's identity, I got this book and I'm reading it very carefully, like line by line, not like novel reading. I'm reading it like analytically. This book actually talks about who was considered as a good man. And he talks about...
Back in those times.
Back in those days. About 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A century ago.
Oh, the world has changed so much
right,
since.
Right, exactly. And it talks about the concept of javan mardi or chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says that, like, how in the passage of two or three decades, this whole definition changes, right? Like, it was actually saying that it doesn't really matter from which walk of life you are, whether you're an aristocrat or whether you are down there.
Right.
Doesn't really matter. There were specific criterias or standards that if any man had that, like protectiveness of the fellow men in his neighborhood, fellow men and women and children in his neighborhood, being caring about them. Mm-hmm. If he saw like someone bothering them, he would come to the rescue. The other one was generosity and kindness. It reminded me the qualities of Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
That even sometimes it was written that they would raid caravans that were coming like from Russia, that were going all the way to the Qajar king, a caravan holding a lot of gold and silver and gems and jewelry, and they would stop them. They would distribute the money and the goods among poor people in the neighborhood.
Fascinating.
Would you believe that?
We're going to be back after a short break, so stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Thank you again for joining us. We've been talking about some really interesting stuff.
Sometimes, Zainab, when we're watching cartoons and when we're watching animation movies of the Disney, right, like the Aladdin or Robin Hood, any of these, they have like a very, they're coming from real backgrounds. Although they are made dramatic.
Art imitates real life.
Exactly. And I didn't believe that until I read history.
True. Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just saying that, and so at one stage of time, this is how a good man was described. Later on, when you move into history, because your question was that we have double standards for a Muslim lady. Last night, the pages that I was reading was about how the men, like athletic men, who was considered to be an athletic man physically and ethically. Mm-hmm. And like in the about 120 or 30 years back, when men used to go to the zurkhanas, right, where only men came, and there was no place for, even now, the zurkhanas are not a place that women can attend in Iran, right? So ethical qualities were super important as one of the main characters of a champ. As we move on in the era of Qajar and after, where rich people came into the, they bought their own zurkhanas, they built their own zurkhanas. And so physical strength, like in the zurkhana, you stay still and you do your exercises. After 20 or 30 years, you had to move. Motion was something very important, and physical structure became one of the positive standards, one of the very good qualities that that an athlete should have. Mm-hmm. But 20 or 30 years back, it wasn't really important if you had like a, if you were, you know,
broad shoulders,
muscles. It wasn't really important. Ethics was very important. Mm. Nowadays, Zaina, when you're looking at sports and when you're looking at athletes, ethics does not play any role. Mm. Very, very skimp, small, trivial role that it's not really important. What's really important is what you wear and how you are, like your height, your muscles, your weight.
And your skills on the field.
Exactly. So you're right. But we have to see that. And this is something really bad that has been happening. And this is going on in women's sports as well.
There was so much on my mind in my bed I lay. I turned to my side and I heard a voice say, stop all your whining, heart rate's declining. You've got so much more than most. Look how you're sleeping, how much you've eaten. Don't you know that you're supposed to say, Saba and Shukr are wonderful things. The praises to Allah we should always sing. When things go right, it's from Him, not me. And when they are wrong, we get through patiently. I got out of bed, began to walk. Bumped into some folks and we started to talk. Did you hear about the killing, the bloodshed, the stealing? The grass got burnt on the other side. Soldiers are coming, people are running. All that's left is the orphan child. Sabr and Shukr are wonderful things. The praises to Allah we should always sing. When things go right, it's from Him, not me. And when they are wrong, we get through patiently. I opened my eyes and began to see.
When I look at like the top-notch athletes,
Do have some ethical figures.
Yeah, and also like their true sportsmanship is still valued in them, though this is totally irrelevant to the topic of our discussion. Please carry on.
Yeah, but the thing is that how we get our standards, how do we get our values from?
It definitely has become more superficial.
Exactly, and more physical. Mm-hmm. Like I'm following...
I blame Hollywood for this, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know if we have to blame ourselves and how weak our values are, that we quickly just, you know, as the wind blows to one direction, we just follow it. We have to blame ourselves.
And now that we're aware, it's time to blame ourselves. But when, like, Hollywood began to take the world by storm and raise certain standards, create, actually, certain standards and glamorize those standards and those attributes, people didn't know what was going on. And the masses just drifted toward it, whether men or women.
Because they were so empty of themselves.
And they weren't aware, really, with every piece of technology that comes.
You know where this comes from? Asian, Eastern, Middle Eastern countries, Muslim countries, were, you know, in the very advent of Islam, we were leading countries.
Yeah.
Right? We had a lot of power, a lot of wealth, politically, socially, economically. And then... as the years went by, we shifted away from the direction of Islam, and so many non-Islamic criterion values became valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
In the field of gender studies and women's studies, what the Prophet was trying to propagate and what the Prophet was trying to spread and teach people in the society, what the society actually believed in and considered as valuable was something totally different.
Oh, wow.
This is actually part of the speech of Lady Fatima.
Yeah, exactly.
Salamullah alayha. That she said, where are you guys going? You know, in the last days of her her life, that when she was in her deathbed and the women came to her and to see her and, you know, to pay her visit, she said, I am so upset with your men. I open every day with this notion, with this thought that you guys took away one right from my husband. He wouldn't have even used, and he would have used nothing from the Muslim treasury.
Exactly.
He would have consumed the least amount of possible. He wouldn't use your money to build more money. He wouldn't use it for his family. This is what really influential political figures are doing these days, right? They are, after one or two or three terms of being in the government, I mean, they become super rich.
And
because of their
for
ties,
life, like covered, yeah, exactly.
Right? And so, like 2, 3, 4 generations of their family will be filthy rich until the end of their lives. Lady Fatima was exactly touching upon this specific point, that if you go with Ali alayhi salam, your dunya and your akhirah will be safe.
Yeah, our time came to an end, definitely.
And we didn't even. We just
scratched the surface on this immensely
an
deep and very complex topic. And if you guys want to know where this leads to, make sure to tune in to future episodes of Muslim Lady. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad.
Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.